This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
The number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. Here tonight is Ian.
Hey, listen, I'm here.
And Mark. You can bring up absolutely anything you want. Breaking news, apparently, according to Baraka66 in our chat room over at chat.freetalklive.com. They're in the On Air Now channel. He's posted a link to Anonymous. You haven't heard much from Anonymous in recent years. Didn't mean to play that on the air. Sorry about that. This is a video, you know, in typical Anonymous fashion with a man in the V for Vendetta mask and the computerized voice, where they're basically saying they've got a database they're posting to the dark web, and including right-wingers' credentials from Congress, including Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, their login password information, and they actually call out their passwords in the video. Marjorie Taylor Greene's password is Bortz, apparently, according to them.
Neil Bortz.
Which is believable because she's from Georgia. Right?
Yeah, okay.
So they claim
I'm missing out on this joke. Who's Neil Bortz?
Neil Bortz is a longtime libertarian talk show host who has retired.
Some years ago, several years back.
And I used to love him, the high priest of the Church of the Painful Truth.
He was mostly libertarian. I think he kind of lost the message when it came to war.
Ian, as I recall, you recognize at least a maximum of 5 people as libertarians.
Right.
Yeah.
Mostly just you.
If you're talking about going to war, I'm sorry, I'm going to pull your card.
Well, and this is an important distinction. So there's voluntarists, which are the most libertarian. It's peak libertarianism.
Sure.
But anyone who wants us to have less force and more freedom is, they're all libertarians. If you want a movement in the direction of liberty, then you are a libertarian. Even if you want that liberty to stop at a certain point, if it's more than what we've got now, you're a libertarian.
And the reason I kind of agree with Ian at this moment on this time, I'm rare that I like to pull people's card, but you know, what I believe is war is the health of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And if you advocate for war, and look, I'm willing to put caveats in here and that sort of thing, but if you advocate for war, you are advocating for the health of the state.
That's true.
You are advocating for violence against other people who largely are not responsible for whatever it is that you're complaining about. And let's not forget, ladies and gentlemen, you don't know what the hell you're complaining about because you weren't there. You don't know what's happening.
Mm.
I like to use an example. My most recent example is those missiles that landed in Poland.
The ones accidentally or whatever?
Right.
Yeah.
The Ukrainian missiles that landed in Poland
were being claimed to have been Russia.
The first thing we heard, Russian missiles have landed in Poland. NATO has been attacked.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're ride tomorrow. Like they were ready to destroy
the Earth.
Somehow, come on, if this had been 2 decades ago, be serious. We'd have been at war.
Mm-hmm.
There
somehow
would have been
cooler
no
heads prevailed in that one.
That?
Somehow cooler heads prevailed on that one.
Yeah, right. Every single person who was on that team, like, are you suicidal? Like, on behalf of your species? Is that what the plan is? Are you... Yes, it can happen.
Absolutely.
If we get in a nuclear war, mammalian life might cease to be.
Right. Well, if you get into a war with a nuclear power, and that power is on the road to being defeated, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
They don't like that. You wouldn't like it.
And well, and there are some people who are like, oh, well, I'm sure that his generals or someone else would keep that from happening. Look, this guy used to be the head of the KGB. The dude's got access to a nuclear silo that he can actually push the button. I guarantee you that.
Mm.
And frankly, I don't want to roll the dice even if it were true.
Yeah.
Like, how many times are you going to roll a million-sided die to see if you botch and kill everyone on Earth?
Since we're here now, we can come back to the money thing. But, Peakless, I know you wanted to comment on NATO tonight, specifically letting in a new member, apparently, as they continue to roll eastward with the boundaries of NATO, right? This is now Finland joining the fray?
Yep. Yeah, and the thing was, this is exactly why they invaded Ukraine in the first place. NATO kept pushing eastward.
Their word, right, from the fall of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
They said, we're done, we're not going to keep expanding.
Yeah,
right?
The reason that that was allowed to fall is that they had their word that NATO wouldn't push any further. Okay, so the Soviet Union fell, which was the reason NATO existed in the first place, and I know it wasn't going to happen, but this all could have been solved if they just let Russia into the club. Like,
when,
we might have world peace.
When are you talking about?
Which bit?
Yeah, there's two times that, well, so what, at one point, the Soviet Union applied to be part of NATO.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, I'm
at
talking
its creation, essentially.
Yeah, that would be
and
nice,
then
but
early in the 21st century, I think it was around, 2002 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Putin suggested that Russia be included in NATO,
mm-hmm.
and the response was, well, Russia can go through the process of applying to NATO like anybody else. And that is kind of last I heard about it. To my knowledge, that has not occurred. Now,
correct me if I'm wrong, but no one said that would be a good idea. And if none of the members of NATO are going to have your back in the application process, it's not like you've got a great chance anyway.
No, you have zero chance.
So
this was the problem. This is the problem with Sweden currently.
Mm-hmm.
Sweden is a very important partner because Norway and Sweden separates Norway and Finland,
mm-hmm.
if I remember correctly, and they want to be able to truck things from Norway to Finland,
mm-hmm.
and they have to go over Sweden since Sweden is not currently at this moment part of NATO,
mm-hmm.
because Turkey is not wanting to let them in or whatever the reason might be. That's the difficulty that's going on there. So because one nation can hold it up, and I think that there ought to be a different a process. Look, I'm with you, Peakless. I think that Russia should be included into NATO.
Yeah,
here's
that would
why.
Solve this whole thing.
Because NATO has never waged war in itself.
Right.
And I think we should grow NATO to, since it is only about weapons. It's not about trade or anything like that. I think we should grow it to the entire globe. That way, nobody can ever wage war on anybody else. It is a gambit that nobody can take because one NATO member state attacks another NATO member state. This is in the world where everybody's part of NATO, which is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Yet they're somehow trying to include Japan.
Then the whole world has to attack that country back. Obviously, they wouldn't be, it'll keep the land barriers where they are. The geopolitical lines will stay where they are. Good or bad, that is a good, fewer people will die over lines on maps, which I think is a good thing.
Well, and at this point, if you were going to get Russia into this thing, you would probably have to get China, too. And if you get Russia and China, you're probably going to have to get India. And if you get Russia, China, and India, then Brazil's going to say, hey, can I join?
Sure.
And so you actually have a chance of having that happen now. We could get every country on Earth to agree not to shoot each other.
Now, let me ask you this. Wouldn't it be good if we had an immigration and import-export contingent within NATO that says that any NATO member state must trade at a one-for-one, no barriers, full free trade, and that members of NATO can move within the geography of NATO without encumbrance.
So they have a similar thing with NAFTA. which basically it's NATO, the trade organization, which is probably how you want to do that anyway. So that way you can be like...
NAFTA is gigantic. It's a very big deal. It's not free trade. It's
right.
something far less.
Right.
Mexicans can't just come to the United States.
Right. You guys are talking about libertarian fantasy NATO, which does not exist, is likely never to exist. So, good luck. I mean, it's a nice little thought experiment, but I don't even know if it's worth experimenting
with.
One
of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to get World War III, very probably China and Russia against NATO. Like, either that's going to happen, or it's not. And one of the ways that that could not happen is if they say, hey,
they
let's
one
make...
of them in.
Right.
And Russia is the best choice because it is not a global superpower. It's a regional power at best. It's a waning
superpower.
They got
nuclear missiles.
That doesn't make them a global superpower.
Mm-hmm. What does?
I mean, militarily, it kind of does. Like, when you have not just a few missiles, more missiles than anybody.
Well. So obviously their military wasn't up to the task to taking out a backwater on their border. And
that remains to be seen.
It wasn't up to the task.
You're talking about what's happening right now?
Yeah, they haven't been able to take out Ukraine. And they had
that's not what they were supposed to be doing. I mean, if you believe Putin, and there's no reason to believe a politician.
They certainly attacked a bunch of areas that were not the eastern provinces of Ukraine.
They did, but not with the purposes of taking them over.
Okay, why did they do it?
Well, you'd have to ask Putin that. I think it was because they were being missile, you know, from those areas or whatever.
Well, so the internet believes that they are losing. How's that?
That's the Western internet. I suspect you could get some Russian sources that believe differently.
I don't speak Russian, and
they have English-speaking outlets. Check out TASS.
I'd love to hear it, but it doesn't sound. So far, I haven't heard anything convincing. That they're doing anything but losing.
Well, the fact is, you're not on the ground, and neither is anyone else probably in this audience.
Do you remember, what was the name of the guy that was your roommate here many, 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 many years ago?
Sean?
Sean, that went off to the military.
Yeah.
He was a quartermaster in a tank battalion.
Okay.
When he came back 8 years later. He was a quartermaster in a tank battalion, and he told me that the United States military, that he was, you know, when they do their war games... He was involved in this. He said one-third of the tanks, the U.S. tanks, were out of commission at the start of war games for 1 week. Maybe it was two. I don't know how long it was. Whatever the period of time. By the end of that period of time, another third was out of commission. So you're told that the United States has, you know, whatever 100,000 tanks or whatever it is, but it really only has two-thirds of that. And after 1 week at war... It will have one-third of that.
Okay.
When you apply that to Russia, a country that is not known for its efficiency, I'm sorry to say, not known for its patriotism, not known, like, you know, countries rarely send people to Russia for training. They send them to the United States for training. My guess is that a full half, maybe even more than half of their tanks were out of commission when they started the war. Likely Putin wasn't ever informed of this. I certainly wasn't. Not that I run a nation. And then another full quarter of them were out of commission. Like, they have just the tiniest little amount of tanks that they started with.
I mean, it's wild speculation on your part.
Wild speculation is based on facts.
No, it's based on what one guy in the U.S. military told you about his experience being in the U.S. military.
In a tank battalion.
I mean, I see why you think you can extrapolate that, and maybe you can, but you don't know anything about the Russian military.
You're right. I don't know anything firsthand about the Russian military, except that they're losing.
Well, and, okay, it's not exactly what you said.
Okay.
You said they were unable to take out this backwater country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this backwater country who is being supplied by NATO.
Sure. They are now, but they should have had them in, you know, shock and awe. They should have had them in...
Oh, no, they couldn't do that one.
What's
so
that?
So that's the thing. Like, what Russia ultimately wants out of this. Number one, they want this portion of their border secured, including warm water port.
They want Black Sea access.
Right. They want Black Sea access.
Well, they have
they
that.
They want this portion under their control so that you can't do a land attack. I know no one does land attacks, but if you're open to... but that's because you prepare for them.
Well, even more importantly, to just drive trucks to what's the region that 10 years ago the Ukraine lost?
Crimea.
The Crimea, mm-hmm. right? You basically drive trucks to
right.
Crimea.
Right.
I mean, that's what's important.
Yeah.
Bring trains in.
Right. Exactly. And they still want to be friends with Germany. They still want Germany buying their petroleum products. They like having a friendship with Europe. They don't want to be enemies with Europe because that's a huge trade partner. So they're not going to go in guns blazing on the country that's on both of their border. Like, literally the borderland, which is what Ukraine means. They're not going to do a hard, fast, we will take this immediate strike. They're not going
scorched
to do
earth.
That. Right. They can't do a scorched earth policy because they're trying to leave the avenue for trade at the end of this with Europe.
Well, they let's look at the real shock and awe, the United States taking over Iraq. Mostly the United States didn't destroy everything when it rolled in. No part of Ukraine touches Germany proper. It touches...
That's right.
Right. I was just, when you were saying it, Poland, which is a NATO NATO country, but anyway.
And that's the thing, where the rest of the EU goes, so Germany goes. I mean, Germany will put up with absolutely anything at this point. It is the center of the EU, and they're doing all of the European Union's banking at this point. So anything that happens to any European Union country happens to Germany at this point, and they still want that relationship. So they can't do a blitzkrieg in Ukraine, or else they're going to upset Europe to the point where they can no longer be trading partners at the end of this.
Yeah, it's hard to know how many people died in the basically day that it took for the United States to take over Iraq in the Shock and Awe campaign. Call it 2 days, 3 days. It's hard to know how many people died, but not very many comparatively. There was, you know, some problems with power and water and things like that, certainly. But I'm sure there's that problem in Ukraine now. I think it can be done, is to take over a country without, you know, losing everything.
I want to go to the phones here. Tim is on the line in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
What's on your mind, Tim?
Hey. Yeah, so I just want to let you know I'm downloading Season 2, and I'm using uTorrent, and I just want to encourage anyone that's listening to go to Free Talk Live and download Season 1 and Season 2, the torrent files, because there's a limited number of peers, and we need more peers.
Yeah, you're referring to the torrents that have the very earliest of Free Talk Live episodes in them. For historic purposes, I believe you can get those from our archives page at freetalklive.com. Tim, anything else you want to share tonight?
No, that's it.
All right, thanks for the heads up. Thanks for doing that that seating there. There's really only like three people doing it, so thank you for that. Everybody counts on that one. Let's go to Crichton in Kentucky. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Crichton.
Yeah, I had to call in because you're diving into a topic for which I am actually qualified to speak on.
Excellent.
All right. What are your qualifications and which topic?
I was in the United States Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Secret level clearance.
Okay.
Actually know something about.
Don't tell me something. They got to kill me after I hear it.
I certainly
won't. There would be a lot of people for them to kill.
Yeah, that would be a lot. You know, they would kill me.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that Peakless by far has the better grasp of the real situation on the ground in Ukraine.
Okay.
Over and above my spirit host, I'm afraid to say. Russia is definitely not losing. They're
okay.
Not winning either, but I don't necessarily think they're trying to. And the reason I say that is because they're not running a blitzkrieg style shock and awe kind of war, and they never were.
Wouldn't a win condition for Russia basically be them occupying and continuing to occupy the eastern portion of Ukraine, the Donbass, and the areas to the south and Crimea, and that would be about the win condition?
Put it closely, but I believe that the end goal is that they want to occupy all the way up to the Dnieper River.
The one that splits Ukraine down the middle.
And
Kiev's right on the border. Or Kiev, I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce this.
It depends on if you're Russian or Ukrainian.
It changed recently.
Yep.
And the reason that one of the reasons, there's never one reason to this kind of thing. But one of the contributing reasons that this thing started way back in 2014, because this is a lot older than most people realize it is. Mm-hmm. Is that Western powers were trying to make geopolitical moves in Ukraine in order to, and one of the things they wanted to do is gain functional control over the Crimean Peninsula.
Right, like Mark was saying, with being able to actually truck things in, maybe build a rail system that reaches
Crimea. I think you're saying Western powers were trying to take control over Crimea. Is that?
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yep. Historically speaking, Sevastopol is Russia's only warm water port. They've hauled it since 1600 or so. They would never let that go. That would have been a prelude to war without a doubt. And whoever thought of the idea that they were going to take over the Crimean Peninsula and, you know, blockade, you know, with the ability to blockade Russia's military port there, they were nuts. They were never going to let that happen. Putin and nobody else in the military structure of Russia would have ever let that happen.
Yeah, the and nearly the bloodless that came coup. To that,
and the closer it came to that, the more serious they got. And technically, they did invade Crimea, but it's kind of maybe not, because they were already there.
Yeah, I actually like the way that Putin put it. He said, "We were thinking of visiting NATO in Crimea, but we decided to let them visit us in Crimea." Because seriously, they had this enormous base there. Yeah. I mean, really all that happened is they left the base and went, "Okay, we're here. This is ours."
Yeah.
That's why it was a nearly bloodless coup.
And one of the things that I follow this every day. And one of the things I see is that Russia is slow walking the line of contact eastward toward the Dnieper River, but as they slow walk it, they're not in a hurry, because they're attracting their opposition, the Ukrainian military, to them, and that puts the Ukrainian military at even a greater disadvantage than they already are.
Does the supply lines get longer?
Russia's supply lines do get longer, but not dramatically. Because they're so close to Russian property.
Crichton, stand by if you want to continue the analysis here. Appreciate it. Stand by. Number here, 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in, Crichton says Mark is wrong on this one. Russia is definitely not losing in Ukraine. If anything, he says they are expanding westward. Slowly. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. After presiding over the Easter Vigil services Saturday night, Pope Francis is scheduled to say Mass on Easter Sunday at St. Peter's Basilica. The 86-year-old Pope is leading Holy Week celebrations at the Vatican after a recent health scare. Francis was hospitalized last week for bronchitis. Nashville City Council members say they'll vote as early as Monday to reinstate State Representative Justin Jones. He's one of two Democrats expelled from the Tennessee House for protesting gun violence after the Nashville school shootings. The Super Mario Brothers movie is coming up big at the box office. The animated video game adaptation made more than $55 million on Friday alone in its box office debut domestically. A rain-soaked third round at the Masters, they'll resume if weather will permit at 8:30 a.m. before starting the final round at Augusta National. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. Live Saturday show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. This hour of Free Talk Live brought to you by Porcupine Real Estate and our friend Mark Warden, who's been a longtime supporter here on Free Talk Live. They've got some pretty awesome things going on here in New Hampshire, but maybe you don't know about those things. Maybe you want to learn about what's going on in New Hampshire with the migration of liberty-minded people coming here. Well, Porcupine Real Estate's putting together a series of webinars. In fact, they've been doing them.
Yeah.
And they're doing more.
You can see them on their YouTube channel.
Correct, which is Porcupine Real Estate on YouTube. They've got topics from gun freedom in New Hampshire, medical freedom, political freedom, victories we've had, even best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing, which, of course, that's what they're the experts at. They're great seminars. Go to move.freetalklive.com, and you can attend the upcoming ones. You know,
ask, you register.
Right, ask whatever questions you have. It's free to attend. You just have to register, and the form is as short as it can be. It's like name, email, phone number, boom, you're in. Go to move.freetalklive.com, and you can get signed up there and check off whichever upcoming seminar you want to attend from Porcupine Real Estate. That's move.freetalklive.com. Let's go back to Crichton.
He's on. I just signed up, by the way, at move.freetalklive.com.
Excellent. You going to move back, Mark?
I am just watching. Look, there's interesting real estate investment stuff. You know,
that's true.
And, you know, a guy like me, where do I live? I'm alive. I'm here. Do I not live in New Hampshire?
You are living here now. That's true.
Right.
There is the theory that ever since air travel was invented and normalized, there are no separate places on Earth.
That's right.
Crichton's back on here. We're talking about a place a little bit further away, which is Ukraine. And you have military experience, having been in the Marines. You wanted to weigh in here, Crichton, and you said you're paying attention to this situation every single day. I take it, I'm going to just guess that means you're looking at news reports from different places, not just Western media, because that's what Mark was saying. Oh, well, you know, everyone in the Western media says Russia's losing. And I was like, well, did you check the Russian media to see what they're saying?
Well, and they also say that Putin is an existential threat for Europe, so pick a lane, guys.
So where were you, Crichton? What were you telling us just a moment ago? Just kind of give us a quick recap.
Well, I wanted to mention that as Putin's military slow walk toward the Dnieper River,
which way
they draw in their opposition.
Right. Which way are they? You're saying they slow walk towards this big river that runs through the middle of Ukraine, and I'm looking at it. Are they on the west side of Ukraine, heading east towards the river, or are they on the east side of Ukraine?
They're on the east side, heading west.
West, right. So they're advancing.
Correct.
Okay.
And by slowly advancing, they draw the Ukrainian military towards them, and it makes it easier on them to destroy their opposition. And we don't know how, because it wasn't expected, but the Russian military or Russian have been able to produce enough artillery ammunition to maintain approximately 10 times the fire rate that the Ukrainians can.
Really?
And that's with Western support. And again, we don't know how they're doing that, but they've been keeping it up for more than a year. So there's a lot to be said there.
What are they shooting at?
And we don't know what they're shooting at.
Yeah.
They're shooting at the Ukrainian artillery. This is largely an artillery battle.
Okay.
Neither side is supposedly aiming at the cities, just like, you know, the apartment buildings and things like that.
Yeah.
It's military versus military stuff.
Well, it is and it isn't. Mm-hmm. And I say it isn't because both sides have been shown to be willing to set their artillery up right next to a hospital or a school. And, of course, if the return fire is off in by a little, they're going to hit those.
And that allows whichever side to holler about how the other side's shooting at children.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
I got to say, I'm not surprised that they have the ammunition for this. Like, for a very long time, the way that you could get cheap ammunition in the States was to get it from Russia. So, like, they have obviously been cranking this stuff out for a while.
Well, yes, but we're talking about artillery ammunition, you know.
Well, gunpowder's gunpowder, though. I mean, am I wrong about that one? You would know.
You're not wrong, but the point is that we believe that we knew where all their artillery factories were.
Apparently, you mean the Russians are sneaky? What?
Sneakier than the CIA, apparently. And you've got to keep in mind that we've had the spy satellites orbiting the Earth, you know, for 30, 40 years now. We thought we had it all. We thought we knew everything about them, and we obviously do not. A lot of these things that you see in media, you have to take with a grain of salt. Because on both sides, it's deception. One of the great rules of ongoing warfare is you're trying to deceive the enemy about what you're about to do next.
Yeah, right back to Sun Tzu, you know, when you are strong, appear weak. When you are weak, appear strong.
You hear about this coming spring offensive. You keep hearing about it. But at the same time, they're going around, the Ukrainians, they're going around to these other countries asking for more support. And it's contradictory. So I don't know what to think about.
I don't keep my ear to the ground when it comes to, like, corporate media. So tell me about this spring offensive that people are hearing about.
Ukraine has been talking about a spring offensive to force attack the Russian line of contact and force them back towards Crimea. And they would need a massive amount of ammunition and support and more manpower than I'm aware that they have.
This has been so telegraphed that the Secretary of State in the United States, Anthony Blinken, made a public statement about it, claiming the operation will begin, quote, within a few weeks. So, like, they're claiming that they're going to bring this spring offensive. However, the other side, RT.com, the Russia Today, has a whole article here about why the leaked quote unquote secret plan for Ukrainian military offensive doesn't add up. And then they get into some of the numbers on why they think this is not what it says it's going to be, if it's going to be anything at all.
Yeah, it's subterfuge, but I don't know in what way, and right. That's kind of the point.
That's the thing that you can pretty much count on here is that if you're seeing it, it's already subterfuge.
Mm-hmm.
Whose is it and why? We don't know.
Yeah, like when this whole thing started, didn't Putin say I will be there on a specific day, and then he wasn't, and then he was like 3 days later. So, yeah,
yes.
I worry about this because very powerful people have a tendency over history to do some crazy things on the 1st of May. Not always, but frequently. So, and I think that there's a huge amount of coordination, at least on one side, if not on both sides of this thing. Because remember, these people are trying to make permanent changes to the global order.
So, let me ask you this, Crichton. If Russia currently controls the portions of Ukraine that it wants, why not just negotiate peace?
They've tried to.
Yeah, they're just trying to.
The Ukrainians will not negotiate.
They did at one point try to negotiate.
Yeah, this has
it
been one-sided
by Western powers.
Right. Zelensky's official position on that is no talks. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and the U.S. has taken very much that same position of, like, beware even a temporary ceasefire under any circumstances.
Right. Well,
and the geography of Ukraine plays a big role in this, and it has for, you know, generations.
How so?
Because Ukraine is very flat. There, mm-hmm. It's relatively easy to move walking, horseback riding, or tanks across Ukraine, the plains, the steppe of Ukraine towards Russia. Now, if you try to travel across the borders of Russia farther to the north, you'd encounter a lot of mountainous area.
Mm-hmm.
So Ukraine is the borderlands exactly because of this reason, the geography.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a secret. The Soviet Union, when they built the bridges over the Dnipro River and several parts of eastern Ukraine, they deliberately made them too weak to support a Abrams tank, a Western battle tank, main battle tank, so that we couldn't do it across their own bridges without supporting them additionally. Whereas they will support one at a time a Russian main battle tank.
T-85 or whatever the heck they are.
So that gives them, Russians, the advantage of going west, but Western power is not the advantage of going east. That is deliberate, of course. We do have a lot of ways to get over rivers, but the Dnipro River is particularly large.
It looks like a series of lakes.
It largely is because of dams for reservoirs, but it didn't used to be. But I mean, it's for hundreds of years. It's been the main way.
Yeah, sure.
That trade came from to the Black Sea. But yes, that's what one of the reasons they want to go there is to put pressure on Zelensky to negotiate, because by the time they get there, they'll be right there at Kiev. And the river itself, once they control the entire eastern side of the river, it becomes its own geographical limitation for Western militaries to strike back. There's a lot of good reasons that the Dittner River is the goal.
Well, it's very interesting, Crichton. Anything else you want to share on your gathered expertise from, you know, what you've learned?
No, that's what I've called about. Thank you.
All right. Feel free to keep us in the loop here as time goes on this. I definitely appreciate the call.
It seems to me that river is likely to be the border at the end of this, assuming we don't all die. Is that Russia will be like, okay, we are satisfied with everything to the east of this river, and you can have everything to the west
Kiev
of this
right
river.
In half, apparently. Right.
Well, I would hesitate if I heard the Russians, if the Russians were negotiating with me and they said, we'll be satisfied with X, Y, and Z, because I don't believe them. But what I would say is that, personally, if a region claims that it wants to be autonomous or wants to be with another country, I think that region should be able to decide that.
Mm-hmm.
And that lines
they
on...
did, apparently. They voted. But right. no one outside of Russia acknowledged the results.
Right. Lines on maps and UN resolutions don't mean anything to me, particularly. I think you should have the government you want. I mean, that was the foundation of the United States, and if the people of Luhansk and Donetsk, pardon me if I'm mispronouncing this, I likely am,
yep,
want to be part of Russia, A, are you crazy? B, don't let the screen door hit you where the good Lord split you. Get out. But this whole idea, and this is what's been going on in Ukraine, is they've been forcing these regions to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Yeah. And that's not going to make for very good stuff. These are the people that accidentally shot down that plane from the Netherlands. Now, we don't know if it was Russia or whether it was militants in this particular region, but not particularly good.
Yeah, and this has been, from the beginning, a proxy war. This is NATO versus Russia.
Sure.
Has always been that. Because NATO took over Ukraine in 2014. They funded and fueled and directed a coup that overthrew the democratically elected government. Now, since that time, that coup government has been shelling this Donetsk region for 8 years. Just every now and again, people explode.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're Russian. Well, they're ethnically Russian. We got to kill them.
Which was the ostensible reason why Putin went in the first place, if you believe what he said about the invasion, was to essentially back up these people that would have sided with him, he believes.
Well, I think that more likely it's Crimea and wanting to have a land bridge.
That's probably
to
what it really
Crimea,
was.
Crimea. But
there's what he said, and that's what he said.
I mean, Crimea is no doubt largely Russian.
Yeah, the geography is absolutely crucial here. Because, number one, you can roll land troops over this area. It's flat. Number two, you need that warm water port. And, Russia is huge, but it's got no access to water.
Yeah.
That's really important if you want to be running a federated empire, don't you think?
The question, of course, now is what started this whole conversation before Crichton called in is this news that Finland has joined with NATO. That's the and
unbearably
those,
reckless.
And I had to check the geography. Finland is a huge border with Russia.
Oh yeah,
right?
It doubled the size. NATO was already on Russia's doorstep. This doubled the size.
1,300 square, I think, meters or something like that, or kilometers or whatever. It's a lot.
You know, I don't have a particular problem with the membership in NATO. What I have a problem with is, to a man with a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Mm-hmm.
And to NATO generals, Russia must die.
Right.
And nobody wants to die, so they'll fight like it's their final breath.
RT has a response here.
And that's true on the other side, too. I, mm-hmm, I suspect that those Russian generals feel exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they feel like this is an encroaching threat, right? So Russia...
Well, to me, it's like, imagine, if you will, that there's somebody who actively made a conspiracy to kill you back when you were a socialist. And they live down the block. And now, you're not a socialist anymore, and they tell you that it's all cool, but they moved in next door. I'd be a little worried.
Russia will respond, according to RT, with appropriate, quote, countermeasures after Finland officially joined NATO, according to the Kremlin bureaucrat Dmitry Peskov. The Nordic nation became the bloc's 31st member on Tuesday, while neighboring Sweden is still in the process of applying for accession. Peskov said during a call with journalists, the expansion of NATO is an encroachment on our security, on the interests of the Russian Federation. That is exactly how we see it. We will apply countermeasures to ensure our security in a tactical and strategic sense. The spokesman added, he reiterated that Finland's new status would affect relations between the two neighbors, arguing that the U.S.-led bloc is, quote, unfriendly and in many ways hostile to Russia, unquote. He said Moscow would monitor the deployment of NATO forces and installations on Finnish territory, including those along the border it shares with Russia, and would adjust its response to the situation. And then they go on to give you a little bit of background on the relationship between the countries. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I think it was, what, Turkey that was blocking this from happening in the first place?
Is that right?
Yeah, and guys, what? Where are you? We needed you. You were keeping peace.
Mm.
But no, we got to have all of Europe so that there is as big of a border as possible between these two belligerent empires.
Well, remember the last, I don't know, one of the last speeches we talked about from Putin some weeks ago, he was saying that in Ukraine, he's using the excuse of, well, NATO's got these missiles coming into Ukraine, and if the missiles can reach the motherland in Russia, we're going to have to keep pushing west. So this is, I believe, his excuse for what Crichton was talking about, where the Russian forces are moving west from the Donbass region towards the river that we were discussing that divides the country.
Dnipro River.
Yeah. So his excuse for this was, well, we can't let Ukrainian or NATO missiles fly into Russia, so we got to secure whatever areas are, you know, that those missiles could be moved into, essentially, was the excuse. Now, what are they going
to
say when NATO starts setting up missile installations in Finland?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it was last week we were talking about how Belarus had was in the process of moving tactical nuclear missiles into Belarus.
Correct.
Okay, now they've called for strategic nuclear missiles. You know, the city destroying kind.
Have they called for that?
Yeah.
Oh.
As a result of this.
Mm.
So great job, guys.
Yeah.
Great job.
So now, there you go.
To be fair, I think there's a real chance that all of this is theater. That they have a backdoor agreement to say, hey,
East Asia's always been at war with Oceania.
Exactly. And, hey, we've got all these old broken tanks. We kind of want to get rid of them and get our people to buy us a bunch of shiny new tanks so that we can give a bunch of money to our friends over here. Wouldn't it be nice if we had this proxy war where you could destroy your old equipment, we could destroy our old equipment, and both of our populations would be happy to buy us new ones?
And it would only just cost tens of thousands of lives.
Less than 10 years ago, we were hearing talk that, you know, the last tank war's been fought.
Mm.
Like, there's no longer going to be a tank war. And now, in fact,
that's exactly what's happening.
It's a tank war. So there's something to what you're saying here is that, you know, there's all this equipment. It's like, we don't need this crap anymore. People were literally saying this, and now it's like,
military industrial complex said, hold my beer. Yeah, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is always the excuse when they make new military technologies, like the guy who made mustard gas. He wanted to reduce World War I. He wanted to make it as short and brutal as possible so that it would end quickly, and then we wouldn't have to do this again because the weapons were just too good. Well, wouldn't you know it, we just made an agreement not to use them.
Let's go to the phones here. I got Major Payne on the line in Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, you guys talking about all this warfare stuff got me to thinking. Falkland War was, I believe, Grenada. That was 3 days.
No, Falkland. Grenada is its own separate island. Falklands are far, far south from there.
All right. Well, I remember the Grenada War. That was only 3 days.
Yeah, that was the U.S. That was Ronald Reagan's war there.
Yeah. But you guys were talking about them moving into the Crimea, and they didn't even fire a shot, pretty much. So would that even be considered a war? And as far as Russia giving anything back, I don't never know of a guy that was considered the victor given anything back. So well, I think that
the United States has really didn't take any territory that it could have taken in World War II and a lot of other places. You know, they're all wars for liberation. I'm using air quotes here. And, you know, the idea is obviously we want to put our people in, create client states in many cases, but, you know, they don't claim the territory for themselves. Nobody wants to claim territory anymore because at this point, in a socialist world, everybody, citizens are now liabilities, not assets.
All right, well, so we got, I think the most famous war, as far as the underdog coming out on top, was the Seven-Day War of the Israelis.
Right.
And they had like three countries against them, and they kicked all their butts in a week. That was something.
They took a bit of territory during that, but not nearly as much as they could have.
Well, there's new smoke rising out of Jerusalem right now. They're suffering the biggest missile barrage they've ever had in 17 years, and it's coming from not only Palestine but I believe Lebanon and Israel. Israel, yeah, this is fresh breaking. I don't even think you guys have touched on it at all. This is fresh breaking news. So the devil and Mrs. Jones are arm wrestling again.
Thank you, Major, for the call tonight. Appreciate your thoughts.
Quick retraction. Apparently, from 2 days ago, Putin and Lukashenko did not discuss placement of strategic nuclear weapons. So they haven't discussed it with them. So, yeah, they've discussed tactical nuclear weapons, but not they haven't discussed strategic ones yet.
All right, 603-283-6160. David is in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
So, first of all, if Anthony doesn't have any lights, how can he be Blinken? Yeah, that's a terrible joke. Why are we even...
It reminded me of the Winkum, Blinkum, and Nod. I can't remember where I heard that from, but...
I know what you're talking about and can't remember it either.
Am I living in a bad nursery rhyme?
Why are we even in this war to begin with? I mean, like, the U.S. hasn't officially declared war.
Well, it hasn't declared war since World War II.
Because two empires are both trying to conquer the world.
Hold that thought, David. We'll bring you back here for the discussion in hour number three, which is on the way. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-MARK.
Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod is a popular poem for children written by American writer and poet Eugene Field.
I've never heard of it. All right, 603-283-6160. Hour three coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.